order, and would we begin by a pledge of allegiance, please?
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I see that we have a quorum. Mr. Carmel, do we have a report from closed session?
No reportable action, President Barringer.
Thank you. Is a member from the Sheriff's Department available to give a report?
Good afternoon. Sergeant Rasmussen from the Sheriff's Office. The commander is unavailable, so he sent me up here. It's probably been about 8 years since I've been up at this meeting, and for some reason it's bigger. Something about water, I hear. in our report, basically we had...
21 Adam 11.
Sorry about that. Still on patrol. I forget that they... goes real loud sometimes, but we had 284 calls of service last month. Most of those were assisting other agencies. We did have a few domestic violences, which we did respond to in the area, and some batteries. Most of the things that we did respond to was just general welfare checks and things like that. We did have 18 crimes against property, which are petty thefts, a lot of those dealing with vehicles, and some of the small frauds and things like that, internet incidences and that kind of thing. We responded to 46 incomplete 911 calls. Seems to be that sometimes we get a little bit more here because of the problems of the trees and things like that, picking up some of the phone lines and that. And 12 alarm calls. And other than that, it was pretty much 58 were self-initiated calls by our deputies in the area. And as a result, it was a fairly quiet month. That's all I have to report. Is there any questions that I can answer from the board or the public?
Any questions? Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. For the report.
Do we have a fire department report?
Yes, President Barringer. We have Captain Bill Hollingsworth this month that will
be a highlight for you. The first of all is that we did have a very successful pier-to-point paddle race, which was a fundraising event for the NCORE personnel, raised just under $2,000. That was an entire independent action on their part, and they were able to raise that money for equipment and maintenance expenses for the group. Very much needed income for them. We have an upcoming chipping event that's been sponsored through the Fire Safe Council, and it's going to be held on this coming Monday and Tuesday. There still is time to sign up for that for people in the community. You could sign up either through the website. The information is available through the CCSD website, and you could drop that information off either at the fire station or through the district office. That would be a great way to help with fire safety within the community. The conclusion of the fire hazard fuel reduction program was completed a couple of weeks ago. We had just over 1,800 parcels that were cleared within the community to create additional fire-safe areas next to residences and things like that, identifying specific fire breaks. And of that, historically, there's been as many as over 200 parcels that go to contract, which means we have to force hire somebody by contract to come in and clear those parcels that maybe an owner did not comply with. Through an aggressive campaign with a lot of the property owners, we had under 50 this year that went to contract, which means we're getting much better compliance within the community. Those are all positive things. We did want to stress that the chief specifically, has turned in a long-term strategic plan to the board, and we just like to stress that we would really like to move forward with a possibility of getting a workshop together and really making some inroads to address some of the staffing issues and equipment issues that are not only here now but coming in the near future. And then finally, in regards to our fire weather and what's happening right now, as most people know that have lived here for a while, October and November are the nicest months for Cambria and historically always have been. However, that comes at a little bit of a price. Our weather is always the nicest at that time. It's a little bit warmer, But the winds typically reverse. We get a lot of offshore winds, which lowers the humidity, increases the fire danger for the community. So as you're out and about, please be very vigilant about whether or not you're going to be mowing or cutting in the midday hours. Try to do that very early in the day, and just be very conscious of what's happening within the community in regards to fire safety. Do you have any questions for me or that I could help with?
Well, first, thank you for the report. And also, just I think it couldn't be better timing on doing the chippest, not just trimmings from plants, but if you have anything that's been cut recently that could be chipped up, then please participate, because we have a great opportunity. Thank you.
That's absolutely correct, and it is free of charge to the community.
And Director Clift has a question.
Yes, this chipping event, is there going to be another one? I thought at one time they talked about there'd be two.
We have talked about that. That's information that would come from the Fire Safe Council and their funding capabilities. At this time, I don't know if that's the case, but I absolutely can find out and get that information to you.
Okay, thank you.
It's the only one scheduled right now.
Right, okay.
I've got
And Amanda.
Two quick things. Could you briefly talk about, with all the other fires going on in California, are we part of a group of firefighters that responds, and if that happens, or are we backfilling other places where they have sent firefighters?
Yes, ma'am. I can't address that. We currently do not have anybody from our station or department out assisting through what we would refer to as a mutual aid or automatic aid. Because of our location, it's considered fairly isolated in this county, this North Coast area. They try not to draw this down very much. That is not to say that we're not available. We have gone out numerous times, most recently 2 years ago. We typically to be either the second or third level of agency available to go out. And again, a lot of that is going to be dependent upon our availability, because not only do we have to provide the minimum level staffing for the apparatus that's going, for instance, if it's a fire engine which we staff, state requirement means that there has to be 4 people on that apparatus when it goes. If we send the water tender, there has to be a minimum 2. It's all defined by state regulations and code. So that being said, we not only have to provide that service, but then we have to bring people in behind that and then staff the station. So right now we are at not necessarily an all-time low, but we are very low on staffing. Mm-hmm. So unless the need was immediate need and it was maybe within county, we probably will not be sending anybody out of county, but that's not to say that we won't. Paired with that, we absolutely are available all the time, every day, for immediate, automatic, and mutual aid within the county, and that happens on almost an every other day basis.
Okay.
We're one of the few agencies in the county, excluding Cal Fire, that has and staffs a water tender. And even though ours was technically out of service, they had another one that was sitting mothballed in their fleet, and we were able to bring that up, and we've been staffing that water tender under a contractual agreement and providing personnel to respond to it. And that's been utilized quite a bit as well while ours is being repaired.
Fantastic. Thank you. And a question to the general manager.
There are several things that we need to discuss as the chief prepares for his retirement here in May. And I did discuss with the president, and you know, we're looking at probably the November time frame or so, which isn't that far away. November will be here, but that'll give us a chance to get the emergency water supply project up and running and be able to focus on truly focusing on and not feel like we're rushed or be able to talk about those things. So, yeah. And that'll also give me a chance to, you know, work with the chief between now and then on some other things within the strategic plan that we need to discuss as far as staffing and things like that. So
it does seem like kind of a critical thing. I know we do water and wastewater, but we have at least an equal amount of investment in the fire protection. So I want to make sure that we stay on top of that as a board.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your report. I'm pleased to be able to recognize Mr. Norm Smythe. Is he available? Smith? There he is. Why don't we step up to the podium?
Okay.
What I'll do is I'll read this to you. I'm very happy that you're here, because I even wore a tie, so... So we have a Cambria Community Services District proclamation commending Norm Smith, Cambria CERT coordinator. Whereas Norm Smith spent 30 years in public safety and law enforcement, working for the Morro Bay Police Department and other agencies in Southern California, and whereas with experience in handling emergencies during this 30 years, recognized how quickly emergency services agencies could become overwhelmed, and the need for an organized resource of citizen responders within the community, and whereas after becoming 16th CERT responder in Cambria, Norm became CERT coordinator and team leader in 2007, has been instrumental in training over 300 team members, and whereas a total of 200 CERT members have participated in 4 natural disaster exercises for emergency personnel, and a total of 125 CERT members have been participated in 4 CERT-specific exercises, and whereas CERT members have responded to 5 actual emergencies, which included an earthquake, a missing persons search, and winter storms, conducting residential and neighborhood checks, managing and processing supplies or donations, initial damage under Norm's leadership. Now, therefore, by the virtue of authority vested in me as president of the board of directors, and on behalf of the entire board, CCSD staff, and all Cambrians, on this 25th day of September 2014, we hereby honor and commend Norm Smith for his dedication and service to the Community Emergency Response Team of Cambria, and this proclamation of public recognition extends to Norm our sincere appreciation and best wishes for continued success in all his future endeavors.
Mr. President, I just want to add that wasn't on the certificate is the fact that CERT is not only a model program in Cambria, but it is the model for the countywide program. And certainly, Norm, you have had much to do with that becoming a countywide effort. And I'm pleased that we are also able to provide funding for our local CERT through the fire department or through our budget. And I think it's money well spent. I think everyone would agree.
And Director Robinette?
Yes, thank you. And if I could add to that, it is truly a privilege to be here to honor you today. Norm, where did you go already? There you are. Thank you. And where is Shirley? That is the second half of that team, too. And I have to say, the first time that I really met Norm, I've been a CERT member too for a long time, I think since about 2006. We were out looking for that missing person that was mentioned here, and he was my search partner. And what a great opportunity for me that I'll never forget to work with someone, but I just wanted to thank you. And all CERT members that are here today, would you please raise your hands? Thank you so much.
Director Clift?
Yes, I want to expand just a little bit on what Director Thompson there said, who beat me to the punch on. No matter where I go in the county and meeting with county officials and other people, they always refer to Cambria CERT and to Norm as the director and the developer of this program. You have, in this area, put us on the map. You're an example for a lot of people that are not just in this community, but all over this county and probably a little bit on into the state. So thank you, Norm. You've done an outstanding job, and you really have put Cambria out there as an example of community service where people get together and help each other. And I'll say thank you for the time your members drove up to the house and wanted to give water. I forget whether that was the earthquake or what it was, but they were running around and knocking on doors in our community and saying, if you need water, we have it here. And they had a whole carload of bottled water. So thank you.
Director Race?
I haven't had the chance to actually meet you yet, Norm. I'm very thankful that you're here and providing the leadership for that group for as long as you have. And the CERT is one of the things that makes Cambria such a great community to live in, full of people that really care about their neighbors and know what's going on. So thank you for shepherding that to the size that it's become.
Thank you. And whereas... There's a huge group of supporters. Norm, I think you should be proud of your work, and thank you. Moving on to agenda review. Do we have any additions, deletions? I have one to suggest, and because a large member of the public is wanting to talk about different subjects that aren't on the agenda, my suggestion is we take regular business, item 9B, which is to authorize the general manager to negotiate an agreement on the focused EIR. If I move that to right after public comment, then it'll give us a double hit. One, if people are going to want to speak to 9B.
After the general manager's report?
No, I was actually before the general manager's report.
After?
No, before.
Before, okay.
And it was right after public comment, and we'll then go to 9B.
I was confused there. I wasn't sure.
Any other comment? Any other directors? No problem? Okay. So that's what we'll do. So in that case, I would like to open up public comment for those items that aren't on the agenda and or for 9B. And the first speaker I have is Heidi Santos, followed by Leyland Whitaker. There's a button on. Is it green? Okay, push the center button just below that.
There we go.
There we go. Thank you.
Okay, but I'm also 9B.
Okay.
Okay. My name is Heidi Santos, as I thought, and I'm also a board member for North Coast Advisory Council, but I'm not here in that capacity. I only speak for myself. My husband and I, we looked for a vacation home or a retirement home in 1988 because we needed to get out of L.A. We looked for about 6 months up and down the California coast, and when my husband came to Cambria, he said, if we don't find it here, I will stop searching. With that particular answer in mind, we obviously found a house that particular day, and the next day we owned it. We picked Cambria because it's such a charming town. It's so many friendly people, the atmosphere is wonderful, and we really felt at home here. In 1998, we moved here permanently, and we never regretted it. In all these years, since 1988, there were always water problems. And in all these years, I was always part of the silent majority. I thought, let other people worry about it. In that time period, I don't know how many engineering studies we had. I would assume it was like between 10 and 15. We had changing boards of CCSD numerous times, of course, in all these years, but nothing ever changed about the water situation. We returned grants back to the federal government and said we are not using them to build a desalinization plant at this point in time. It was really sad to finally come to the point in my own mind that if you do not have enough water, more saving of not enough water doesn't help. Your garden, where you have your favorite plants and where you have some uneven hilly territory to get to those plants that you particularly love because you're a gardener and you wanted to nourish those plants. We also in Cambria have significantly increased the number of clients that our chiropractors have. And I'm not joking, it's true. We also have incurred permanent damage to ankles, knees, hips, and back because we carry those water buckets around. We were told by CCSD to tell our visitors to bring their own bedding and towels when they come and visit us. During our social gatherings, when we play bridge or whatever, there is only one discussion, and it's continually about water issues rather than the fun topics we used to discuss. A medical doctor, a friend of mine, told me that tests have shown that if you're smart like I was and use wipes instead of taking a short shower, it doesn't really clean you. It can cause health issues, and we should not skip our short showers. Water and soap is still the best. I want my way of normal living back. I really do. I promise to be very careful with my water usage. I don't want to be afraid of water bills. I will not anymore have to tell my friends that they cannot use a bathroom when they visit me. And I have visitors that want to visit and stay with me. No, I don't want to tell them stay in a hotel. I want them to come to my house. That's why I bought a 3-bedroom house. When my friends come, they ought to be able to stay with me. And that's all I asked you to do. Bring my normal way of life back.
Thank you. And Leyland Whitaker is followed by Nick Lyons.
Hello, my name is Leyland Whitaker, Cambria resident, 25 years, business owner, 23 years. I'm here today for a personal issue that I need to tell you about, and it's our life on 3261 Pine Street off of Rogers, overlooking the Rodeo grounds. I'm here also today because I still have not come to terms with the removal of all the eucalyptus trees, going so fast as to not being able to slow down sometimes when I'm out there with my two dogs. They are tired of me asking them to slow down as I have to stand in front of them so they don't hit the dogs. I sometimes just get the finger or they pull branches off our trees as they go by. Now, recently, horses are now going up and down the Berry Trail, just waiting for the day when the horses are coming up and the bicyclists are coming down. Also, the trail is used by families, sometimes with babies and strollers. Horses up and down, bicyclists come down, strollers coming up. This is not a very wide trail, and it is steep and bumpy. You can guess what will happen one day. One of my dogs was attacked a month ago by someone coming up the trail with a dog. She was grabbed by the neck and shaken, and I had to run her to the vet and get stitches. Owner just kept walking up the road. I backed my car onto this road. Never know when I may run into a horse or a bicyclist or a walker or a baby stroller. Then the trees came down, so now we look out onto a moonscape in our backyard, and our front yard has become a minefield. I have been promised a few trees to fill up the holes that was once the eucalyptus trees. Carlos has said maybe in November that they can fill up some of the spots where it looks like the moonscape. Please, could you look into the Berry Trail? Enough is enough. We built back there for privacy and peace and quiet. It has been completely destroyed. It is also a disaster waiting to happen. It is not safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Nick Lyons is followed by Mike Lyons. Nick and then Mike. No relation. I don't know. There is.
As far as I know. Hello, my name is Nick Lyons. My wife, two sons, and I have lived in Cambria full-time for the past 2 years. We were fortunate enough to be able to build a house here back in 1998, which we used as our vacation home while we lived and worked in the Bay Area and later in Alaska. My roots in Cambria go back to my father, who was born and grew up here, his brother Wilfred, who spent his entire life here, and to their parents who ran the Lyons store on Main Street up until the 1950s. As a child in the 1950s and 60s, coming to visit my grandparents in Cambria was always one of my favorite times. Cambria was a different, much smaller and more remote place then, and I believe it is. Droughts are only going to become more frequent and more severe in this part of the world. We need a drought-proof water supply, which is what we are now building. I don't know if this project is the cheapest solution, but I do know there are no inexpensive solutions. I don't know if this project is the best possible solution, but it appears to be a reasonable, timely, and workable solution. I believe the emergency water supply now being constructed is a positive step towards ensuring Cambria's water security. I commend the CCSD board for having the gumption to tackle this problem head on and get something done. The Cambria of my youth is long gone, and it's time to move forward and create real on-the-ground solutions for our 21st century problems. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Lyons is followed by Pamela Thompson.
To this board, previous boards of directors of the CCSD, and my fellow Cambrians, I apologize to you all. As a resident of Cambria for 22 years, I have had ample opportunity to get involved to work towards a permanent solution to this water problem. While this and previous boards withstood bitter and often unfair criticism from a small group of people who worked against any proposal to solve our water crisis, I stood by, silent, assuming that reason, desperate need, and the will of the majority would prevail. Now we are in this emergency, which could easily become a crisis, and it is my fault for not taking action, waiting for others to do so. No more. I join my fellow members of Cambrians for Water, here seen as the blue wave of T-shirts in this room, as well as the majority of Cambrians in saying again, no more. We are dedicated to completing the emergency project and to helping get the regular permit approved. We demand that Cambria control this project so that we will have the right to use the equipment for which we have fought and paid for so dearly.
And Pamela Thompson is followed by Bill Johnson.
My husband's grandfather bought lots here in 1929. Then he didn't want to build. His daughter and son-in-law couldn't build during the Depression, so we inherited those lots. But then when we came to apply for a permit, we were told there was a four-year moratorium. So we came back in 4 years. We were told there was a new four-year moratorium. So we searched and luckily found other lots that we could buy, and the others went to our daughter. So I've been here part-time since 78 and full-time since 96. Now, and I have complained about the no water situation here for many years. Now that we're in this spot, what comes to my mind, sitting here next to the ocean and seeing it every day, is Samuel Taylor Coleridge's Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Some of you are old enough and probably learned about it in school back there 50 years ago. Not now, I suspect. But here are some men becalmed in the sea in their ship in the 1700s. And he says, water, water everywhere. And all the boards did shrink. Water, water everywhere, nor any drop to drink. That's where we are. We're looking out here at the sea with endless water. But the locals, for their various reasons, have chosen not to take advantage of that. I just want to remind that we have had droughts here. In the 1840s, there were 2 years with no rain. And I just also would point out that what we've known as the Sahara our whole lives, back in the mists of time, was a lovely green area with water, animals, trees, people. You know, I don't think they changed that situation by burning too much fossil fuel or whatever. I think that nature has its own way of creating some of these problems for us, and that we should do everything we can to make it possible to survive here with water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Bill Johnson is followed by Jeff Walters.
My name is Bill Johnson. My wife, Pat, and I have lived in Cambria for over 17 years. In that time, we have seen many proposals and studies concerning our water problem. Nothing has been done. Now, we have a CCSD board of directors and a manager who have the guts and the persistence and the foresight to develop a plan to solve our emergency situation and to actually implement it. Thank you. Thank you all. I look at this project like an insurance policy. You don't like paying premiums, and you hope you don't have the need to use it. But if you do, the payout will be worth it. And in our case, the project could save us from a very bad situation.
Thank you, Bill. After Jeff Walters is Ron Crummett, please. Jeff Walters may not be here. Ron, then, can you be followed by Gene Mathalis.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the board. It's a great day to be up here and to talk to you and to talk to giving you my support for everything that you've done and the efforts that you've made that are logical and sensible in developing the water project and continuing to work in that direction. Extremely refreshing to see the C4 group out here. For so many years, I thought I was alone by myself. And I'm so glad to see that the majority is finally coming out. The silent majority, I think, is finally speaking, and the sleeping giant is actually beginning to wake up. They favored us with their votes by getting you people in here that were realistic and fair to make the judgments that you've been making, but they needed to speak, and I'm so glad they needed to speak. Also, I won't go on much longer, but I did want to say as a closing that the desal plant or reverse osmosis or whatever term you want to use that is palatable to you still says water and water everywhere and lots of it to drink, and that we would have had that plant 5 years ago had we not had, unfortunately, people with honorable intentions, but nonetheless stopped and blocked and barricaded for their own agendas the good things that you're doing today. Unfortunately, it took an emergency to bring this out, but I do respect you and honor you for standing up to it and taking your critics, and I know that your critics don't have a workable plan to submit in place of what you're doing. So thanks again, and keep it up.
Thank you. Gene is followed by Paul Carlson.
Good afternoon. I, too, am a Cambrian for water, but I am not a Cambrian for Kool-Aid. And it seems that some very well-meaning Cambrians have been offered Kool-Aid to drink. The one of the saddest problems about this is that this Kool-Aid is also laced with sewer water. There are many reasons that Cambrians have not to trust the CCSD over time. Last year, around this time, Cambrians were feverishly conserving water naively believing that this conserved water would be used in time of need. Instead, the CCSD tried to use the conserved water as a basis for issuing new intent to serve letters. Also, there is in the contract with the with CMD that is building this so-called emergency water supply, there is a little Freudian slip which is somewhat revealing. The labor and materials bond attached to the contract describes this board as the Cambria Community Service District of Orange County. I did not make this up. I've got the copies of it right here. That sort of tells you something. It may have been a clerical error, but it says a lot. And now there are efforts to try to extend this project to non-emergency time, showing that the growth agenda may have been underlying this all along. Now, my question is, can we opt out? Can Cambrians who do not want to drink sewer water opt out and not have this stuff running through our pipes? It's one thing during an emergency to supply yourself with bottled water if you don't particularly want to drink what's coming through your pipes. But it's another thing to make it all around. So if this water is really so wonderful, maybe those who support it wouldn't mind if those of us who don't support it can opt out of that. Now, this so-called emergency could have been averted years ago and over time by proper planning and storage of water resources. I hear a lot of talk about drought and how we're going to have these recurring droughts. And I heard somebody said that there was once a drought here that was 250 years in length. Well, I have news. That is not a drought. That is a dry climate. Drought implies that it's normally something other. We live in a dry climate, and we have to respect and work with nature, not fight against it. So I would just like this board to consider working with nature and not perverting the basic beauty that has drawn all of us to Cambria. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul Carlson is followed by Bob Horvath.
I guess it will not surprise this board that I disagree with the previous speaker. However, I would like at this time to thank Jim Berenger and Mike Thompson for agreeing to run for an additional term for CCSD. It is surprising that these gentlemen are willing. I hope the applause doesn't count on my time. It is surprising that these gentlemen are willing to continue to undergo the constant barrage of criticism from the vocal minority of Cambrians who say they want water but are opposed to whatever the project is on the plate. But Mike Thompson has a history of public service and was a member of the Naval Security Unit during Vietnam, while Jim Berenger is a graduate of the Naval Academy and served as a P-3 pilot. Both are members of the and have contributed to the community through the Cambria American Legion, so it is not surprising that they continue to offer their services despite the obstacles and criticisms and problems that have arisen and continue to arise to get this project finished. Cambrians are fortunate to have these individuals on the board. While attending the Board of Supervisors meeting in SLO yesterday, yes, I was one of the poor or one of the scared Cambrians in a blue shirt. While attending the Board of Supervisors meeting in SLO yesterday, I had to ask myself, why would a candidate running for CCSD director talk against a waiver of permit fees for a project that is already too expensive, according to the opposition? Mr. Richard Hawley did just that yesterday at the Board of Supervisors meeting. He asked that consideration of the $13,000 fee waiver be postponed. Mr. Hawley stated that this board gave away our drinking water from March to June. He also said traffic to the rodeo grounds was so great a stop sign had to be installed. Well, in my opinion, the existence of that traffic is an example of why this board and the citizens of Cambria must ensure that the water project goes forward. The fact is, this was not drinking water given away, but non-potable water, and it was not described as non-potable. It was described as drinking water. I'm not sure that everybody at that board meeting was aware of the difference. Furthermore, when the water was shut off at the CCSD, Cambrians, including myself and many of the fellow Cambrians I see sitting here today, switched to obtaining water from Clyde Owens from the San Simeon Aquifer. And we paid $22.50 a unit for this water, where we were donating $7.50 to the CCSD prior to shutdown of that facility. And I would add that the reason possibly for not charging for the water in a more firm way is it would have cost far more to collect the money than to justify doing so. And I would like to add that the San Simeon Aquifer is being depleted, just as supposedly the Santa Rosa Aquifer was, and we are continuing to deplete that aquifer. The fact is, I would also like to point out that a good portion of the water being used for irrigation purposes is being returned to the aquifer as it percolates into the ground. One more thing, I would like to comment on Jeff Hellman's letter in the Cambrian, where he stated the best loan the CCSD could get was an installment loan. Well, for the information of Jeff Hellman and all people here, almost all loans are installment loans. If you have an auto loan or a real estate loan, they are installment loans. Further, he stated the loan was from a little-known bank. Well, what are we doing here? Is there a problem with this loan, or is there a problem with the project? The little-known bank is a $2 billion publicly traded entity that trades on the New York Stock Exchange. Furthermore, we are not giving a loan to this bank. We are taking a loan from the bank. So the little-known factor, I mean, would we have preferred to get a loan from Bank of America that the Attorney General says is guilty of criminal acts?
Please
this
conclude
bank
your
has,
comments.
Branches in Beverly Hills and Torrey Pines, as well as other locations, and the terms of the loan are normal. So that is all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bob Horvath is followed by Kathy Dowding.
Hi, my name is Bob Horvath. I guess I'm a relative newcomer. We've only had a home here for 5 years. But we own property since 1991, waiting to build that house. And anyway, I want to support the emergency water project, and I want to congratulate the board for doing a project that is using reclaimed water, which is a resource you're going to continue to have. I worked for 36 years for the LA County Sanitation District, and a lot of my work was involved in cleaning up reclaimed water for groundwater recharge. And my wife over here lived right next to the spreading grounds for many years. The LA County started spreading water in 1963, and I was involved in health effects studies that studied the cancer effects and the mutagenicity and all of the health effects that were could have been a concern for using reclaimed water to recharge groundwater. But my wife is a good example of somebody who was drinking all that water for all those years, and you can see that she is a perfect example of health. So, anyway, I'm just really happy that you're doing a reclaimed water project, and anybody who says it isn't going to work is just wrong. LA County, Orange County, and LA City all have major projects using the same kind of technology that you're using, and it's really a very well-established technology.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kathy Dowding is followed by Mark Kramer.
Hello. My name is Kathy Dowding, and I'm a full-time resident of Cambria since early 2012. I was on my way into town this morning to put up my scarecrow when I was delayed by something strange and mysterious. It was rain, I think. Almost. Sort of. So I wanted to be the first to come down here and tell you that we can stop building the emergency water plant now. Clearly, the rainy season has arrived and we no longer have a need for it. Well, okay. That's pretty silly. But I have heard that one of the criticisms of this water treatment plant is that it won't be completed until we are already into the rainy season. I don't think we have a clue what a rainy season really is anymore, or if any of that precious stuff will be falling from the sky this winter. But let's just say that El Nino arrives and we get lots of rain. I would be one of the first to run outside and dance in the rain. I would not, however, believe that one or even a dozen true rainy seasons will solve our water problems here. We currently have no backup solution. That is not a good situation. I am a relatively healthy person, but yet I pay for health insurance. I'm a fairly decent driver and try to maintain my vehicle to keep it safe, but yet I pay for car insurance. I don't particularly enjoy paying for these things, but when I needed surgery unexpectedly early this year, I was very grateful that I had health insurance. And not everyone is as good a driver as I am, so that car insurance may come in handy. So my point is, keep building this water plant for us. Just like an insurance policy, it helps me sleep better at night knowing that it is or will be there when we need it. I will grumble about the cost, but in the end, I will be grateful. Thank you.
Mark is followed by Greg Hunter.
My name is Mark Kramer, a 16-year resident of Cambria and a founding member of C4H2O. We have grown to over 500 members in 6 weeks, and that doesn't include any of the scarecrows who are searching for water, because if they could talk, they'd be happy to join too. And as all of you have noticed from our attendance, both at meetings and our weekly letters in the Cambrian, we are no longer the silent majority. Last week's article in the Tribune in Cambrian said that Cambria may run out of water between October and December. Even if we have enough to get us through the winter, why did a spokesperson for the group Cambrians for Change on public radio last week tell the audience that their group wants to put a halt to the water treatment plant currently being built? Perhaps they do not understand that we'll be paying for this plant for 20 years, whether it is finished or not. So what is the purpose of halting the construction? This group represents the same type of people who have been criticizing CSD for doing nothing for years. And finally this year, our board has acted, and with the support from 80% of the community, has authorized the building of this plant. And now the same group wants to delay progress again by halting the program and proposing a reservoir that will take at least 2 years to build. Has this group heard about what happened last month in East Porterville, one of the gateways to the Sequoias? The town has 7,300 people, and when 1,200 of them turned on their water spigots, out came sand mixed with water. Now they are being rationed 12 gallons of bottled water per day. As a financial planner, I have not offered advice to Cambrians because most are quite savvy. However, I would like to tell the 20% who signed their protest letters that our personal homes represent the most expensive asset that we own. And to protect this asset, we buy insurance. Well, the same can be said about the water plant that we are currently building. $200 to $250 per year is cheap insurance to protect the largest asset we own. And we've discussed this issue with some of the 20%ers and have had some success. Let me say it another way. If the average home in Cambria is assessed at $500,000, that puts the value of the 4,000 homes in our town at $2 billion. And a $13 million investment in this plant, representing less than 1% of the value of our homes, is cheap insurance to protect that value. It's a no-brainer. Can you imagine Cambria without an alternative backup system if the drought continues? Tourism would virtually disappear, local unemployment would skyrocket, and Cambria would be in a serious depression, and our largest asset, our homes, would significantly drop in value. It's time for the vocal minority to stop using Cambria's water issues as a vehicle to control growth, and it's time for the vocal minority to join C4H2O by supporting the board in their effort to bring water from this treatment plant to Cambria on a permanent basis. Thank you.
Greg is followed by Tina Dickinson.
Good afternoon, President and other directors, Jerry Gruber and staff. My name is Greg Hunter. I'm a resident of Cambria. I've been here, lived here just almost 4 years this December. I want to talk about our project. Some opponents of the emergency supply project, including two challengers for the CCSD, Board, Rick Hawley, and Jeff Hellman have stated publicly that the CCSD should have purchased or leased a mobile desalination plant rather than installing a permanent brackish water plant. A tactic commonly used by those opposed to any water project is to suggest another alternative project in the effort to stall the project under construction, under consideration, or in this case, under construction. That tactic is what is at work in Cambria right now: deflect the public's attention to a mobile desal project in hopes of shutting down work on the current project. However, in truth, this project is a better alternative. It is a reasonably priced system that will provide a long-term, reliable, and sustainable supply up to 65 gallons per day per person in addition of additional fresh water for each Cambrian. The system uses proven technology, will enhance the nearby environment, and will be a good neighbor to our state park system. But that's not just the opinion of Cambrians for Water and the board. That was the opinion of Green Space, the organization of which Mr. Rick Hawley served as executive director before he resigned in March of 2004 to run for the CCSD board. The February 2004 edition of Green Space's publication, Insider, contains an article entitled, "What Are You Going to Do When the Wells Run Dry?" in which the author, and it's unsigned, so it may be Mr. Hawley or maybe somebody else that wrote it, but he approved it, discusses the same technology used in our emergency water system as an innovative and desirable way to plan for and solve Cambria's chronic water shortage problem. Here is what Greenspace said just 7 months ago about the system designed and built by CDM Smith, the designer and leader of our project. Quote, "Long-term planning needs to be done now, and there are many innovative technologies used today. For example, looking to Southern California, with Orange County's groundwater replenishment system that began in 2008, has supplied more than 112 billion gallons of purified water. The system purifies wastewater using a three-step process of microfilter, reverse osmosis, and ultraviolet light with hydrogen peroxide. It supplied 20% of the district's 2.8 million residents using less than one-third of the energy needed to run a desalination plant and less than half the energy needed to import water from Northern California." Mr. Hawley's Greenspace was correct when it wrote that the three-step process, the very same process used by a brackish water treatment plant, is an efficient and relatively inexpensive means to provide residents with a stable source of purified water for a long-term basis. I would also like to point out one additional benefit that has not been previously discussed. For years, scientists have noticed that most drinking water contains minute quantities of pharmaceuticals introduced by normal human functions and disposal of old and unwanted prescription drugs into the toilet. To date, scientists have not linked these tactics of pharmaceuticals and drinking water to any health problems. However, the opposition to this project is attempting to raise health issues or fears within our community because our facility will process some effluent, approximately 10%, I believe, and that pharmaceuticals will be left in the finished drinking water for our consumption. Well, everyone, you can relax because this is not true. All tests to date at the Orange County facility referred to above, which runs entirely on sewage effluent, have detected no pharmaceuticals leaving the plant in the drinking water. They have been removed completely by the remote osmosis process and the ultraviolet light treatment, the very same methods employed by our emergency water system.
Please conclude your remarks, sir.
Yeah. I and Cambrians for Water would like to thank the board for their decision and determination to move forward with the construction of the emergency water facility. It will provide us a sufficient amount of reliable, clean, sustainable water to the community that will improve our daily lives and promote its health, safety, and welfare. Thank you.
Tina Dickinson is followed by Jess Bathke.
Tina Dickinson, Cambria. I would like to clarify a letter that was addressed to the Cambrian last week by Barbara Bronson Gray. There is much I can tolerate, but misrepresentation of what took place on September 2nd at the meetings for C4H2O at the Vets Hall, as described in Ms. Gray's letter to the editor, require a response from me. Ms. Gray's account in last week's paper differs greatly from the experience I had. Ms. Gray approached Mary Webb and me outside the vets hall and asked why we were not going to the meeting. Mary told her that it was her understanding we were not allowed to attend. Ms. Gray seemed concerned and said she would speak to her husband, Tom Gray, who is in the building, to see if he could arrange for us to be allowed in. We assumed that wasn't going to be possible, but she said she was going to go and talk to him. She never returned with an answer. Before Ms. Gray arrived, I'd arrived a little earlier. I entered the vet's hall to see if I was allowed in. Mr. Rochefort came along and insisted that I leave. I asked him why, and he made it clear that I was not welcome and that if I didn't leave, he would call the police. And I said, go ahead, I've done nothing wrong. He escorted me to the door. I spoke to Tom Gray, the PIO for the CCSD, and asked him if he was being paid to attend the meeting. He told me, at first he didn't respond, and then I restated my question, and he told me then that he was being paid by the CCSD to attend this meeting. When CCSD President Jim Beringer arrived, I asked him why members of the public were being denied access to a meeting when the PIO for the CCSD was being paid to attend with our ratepayers' dollars. Mr. Beringer denied Mr. Gray was being paid. Contrary to Ms. Gray, to Barbara Gray's claim that Mary Webb and I were, quote, taking photos of each person as we walked into the meeting, end of quote, would have amounted to 150 to 200 photos, the numbers announced by C4H2O as having attended their meeting. I took six photos. For the CDM Smith project manager, district engineer, PIO, and CCSD board directors to attend a meeting excluding members of the public while discussing the public's business, the emergency water supply project, which we are paying for as of September 1st in our rate increase, is a very sad moment in the history of a town so many have come to call paradise. In my view, we are becoming paradise lost. Mr. Paul Carlson, I would like to state for you that the reason the SR1 was shut down for non-potable use was because the Windsor Bridge monitoring well was falling below 3 feet, and the board made a decision that on July 24th at the meeting it should be shut down. It has not been reopened to my knowledge. There are lots of issues that, while I'm so happy to see so many of the community coming out, but I think there's some huge misunderstandings that they're not even aware of. They've never attended these meetings for year after year after year, and yet all of a sudden, because it's water, Cambrians for Change had a workshop in January. Three directors attended for Mr. Warren's Drywall Canyon Reservoir. It would give us way more water, 600 to 700 acre feet. It would not be adjacent to a state park's campground, and we would have had, when rain, and it will come, a little bit did come up this morning,
Please conclude your remarks, late September.
But I'm just saying, this is where we should have gone. And to state that we don't want water is an absolute lie. Thank you.
Thank you. Jess Bathke is followed by Ben Schwartzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and board. I, too, support the new water project. I have a little bit different tack on my speaking today. Apparently, based on the Cambrian letters to the editor and recent CCSD meetings, many people who speak and write about our water problems are unaware that the community was very close to acquiring a seawater desalination plant over 10 years ago, only to be thwarted by a turnover of the CCSD board, some of the new electees misrepresenting their position on desalination during the election cycle. I think those of us who want a reliable source of water, even during drought periods, must not be fooled by those candidates running for CCSD office this year whose agenda may be no new water source or perhaps no growth. Thank you.
Thank you. And my final slip is Mr. Ben Schwartzman. And I will, Heidi Santos and Tina Dickinson have indicated that they wanted to speak on the 9B, so we'll introduce 9B before we take those slips. Thank you.
How about now? Okay. I goofed. My name is Ben Schwartzman. My wife and I have been full-time Cambria residents for almost 5 years on Halloween. My wife and I moved from Westlake Village with the intent that our Cambria home would be our retirement home, even though I still work. We learned about Cambria's so-called water problems 20 years ago when we first visited Cambria. At that time, we were enchanted with the community, happened to meet and spoke with Richard Breen, who told us about the water issues and discussed possible home purchase. Obviously, the water problem has become worse from the ongoing statewide drought. We, too, support the current CCSD board and the status of the water recycling treatment system for the current emergency water. What I don't understand is why my Cambrian neighbors seem to be against this project. As a family law lawyer and one who sat as a voluntary judge and mediator in the Los Angeles Superior Court, I'm aware that there are always at least two sides, and sometimes more, to every dispute. While I appreciate that some Cambrians object to the Cambria having clean water, it may just be the type of water processing system they object to, or possibly the cost, but I do not condone activism which includes threats of injury to persons and or property. In or about 2001, I was the president of a homeowners association board of 136-unit condominium townhouses in Malibu at County Line. We unexpectedly received a cease and desist notice from the Regional Water Quality Control Board to stop using our seawall septic system that had been in place since the 60s, or be subjected to daily fines. The existing system took the effluents from 136 units, sinks, and toilets, went into the septic system before leaching through our seawall into the ocean. It worked fine, but Sacramento and the Coastal Commission decided that Malibu homes with a septic system and not connected to a sewer must have a secondary water treatment system to ensure that the effluents were crystal clean. Our estimated cost started off at $300,000, but eventually wound up costing $2 million. Who knew? After years of angry HOA meetings and threats to recall the board, the system was constructed, is running efficiently, and anyone can drink the recycled water that runs through the secondary water treatment system before it turns into the septic and out to the ocean. To me, the new Cambria water treatment system is no different in principle to what we did in Malibu 13 years ago, but I believe that the water purification technology has gotten better. I support the current board, even though they probably made some mistakes and missteps along the way with this system. I'd prefer supporting this board rather than having a new hostile board members who would love to immediately shut down the system, close up the motels on Moonstone Beach, and turn Cambria into a wasteland of declining property values rather than the beautiful destination location that it is. Thank you.
Thank you. And yes, that was the last slip, but oh no, Jeff. Jeff Hellman, please. If anybody else wants to turn in a slip, we'll take that.
And for all the blue shirts, please don't shoot me in the back. I'm not a bad guy. Jeff Hellman, and I am running for CCSD. You know, there's a lot of information going out there, and there's a lot of misinformation going out there. The reason I made my slip at the last minute, I wasn't going to speak because I'm slightly outnumbered here, but I feel compelled to just kind of, you know, I've been accused of a few things, or at least the candidates have. I'd like to kind of qualify a few things. One of them is motives. My reputation in the business that I've had for a long, long time is one of integrity. I'm not going to go up here and misrepresent myself. Some of the criticism against the board has been bait and switch. A lot of people like myself were totally for a temporary desal unit, which would have given us a breather. It would have given us time to do the project right. A lot of my campaign is based upon doing a project right, not wrong. Some project engineers that are very knowledgeable, people I'm close to, people on the board, they've told me that they understand what I'm saying and this is how you do it. You design a project, you pass it through the state agencies, you get their what they want for mitigation, then you make the plans firm, then you put it out to bid, and then you get a bond issue. One gentleman was up here, the one that was very partisan and pushing for the incumbents in the election. He said everything is done with a sale installment agreement. No. All government projects are done with a bond issue, and especially a capital project that's worth 2 years of a district's revenue. So, no, you get a car and an appliance with an installment sales agreement. When you have an installment and sales agreement, the bank did a very, very good agreement, but to their favor. The bank has a lien on our water revenues. The bank has a lien on the special fund for the increase in water revenues. The bank can foreclose on the facility if non-payment after 3 days. The bank is in a senior loan position, and they have to approve all new loans. Now, using this logic, if the project goes over budget, and I've asked a lot of people, have you ever heard ever of a government project being on budget on time? Everybody was at a loss to think of if it's ever happened in history. Maybe it has, but it typically doesn't. If we need more money, where do we get the money from? In other words, I think we took an unnecessary risk. We could have had our desal plant up and running by now if we had done really, truly an emergency project. I'm for water. Of course, yeah, I'm for the storage first with desal or an advanced treatment plant as a backup, because storage is cheap, it's easy, it's environmentally friendly, it's not controversial. I find that even the people for desal agree that storage is still a good idea. We need a multi-pronged approach to water, not a singular approach. That's pretty much it. I want to just dispel the fact that anybody in this town, no matter how quote-unquote radical they are, is not for water. It's really how you do it, and a lot of us also, as people, somebody may have questioned my integrity. A lot of us have questioned the integrity of some of the decisions that have been made and the way they've been made.
Please conclude your remarks.
Thank you. And just question why all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're doing this thing. Thank you very much, and thank you, audience, for not shooting.
Okay, that concludes the public comment. We did intend to go to 9B. I have two slips for 9B, but could you, General Manager, introduce 9B?
Thank you, President President Berengren, board members. Item 9B before the board today is to authorize the General Manager to negotiate an agreement regarding preparation of a focused EIR on the Emergency Water Supply Project Regular Coastal Development Permit. And the recommendation is, and then I'll turn it over to Bob after I read the recommendation to talk a little bit about this, and District Council Tim Carmel may have a few thoughts on it. The recommendation is that the Water Alternatives Ad Hoc Committee and staff recommend that the Board of Directors authorize the General Manager to negotiate an agreement for the preparation of a focused EIR for the regular coastal development for the Emergency Water Supply Project, with the exact dollar amount to be authorized by the CCSD Board of Directors at the future board meeting. There's a real opportunity to negotiate a good price on this. There's been a lot of environmental work that's been done in the past. Task Order 5 that is CDM's task order, and RBF is our environmental engineer. There's some components within that Task Order 5 that can be taken out and hopefully applied towards this. So it's my goal, as always, is to bring you a product that at the least amount of money possible. So that's why I'm not asking you to authorize a dollar amount, but just asking you to authorize me to enter into negotiations with RBF and get the best product at the best possible price. So with that being said, I'll turn it over to District Engineer Bob Greshens. Or Tim first.
Let me just make a brief comment with regard to the motivation of the committee. As you know, there have been detailed and robust comments from both the committees and commissions of the resource agency and from members of the community. And it was felt that the very low fair argument standard required for preparation of an EIR had been met. And there's a risk in moving forward with the project with a mitigated neg deck, a risk that you're going to be challenged and potentially the challenge would be successful, which would mean a fairly significant delay in our ability to continue to use this facility past the point at which the emergency may have ended. So it was determined that at this point in time, it made sense to go ahead and at least try to get the board to approve the manager to negotiate a contract for preparation of an EIR so we could take that hurdle out of the way and move forward with a cleaner project.
I'll just add a little detail to, you know, we did describe this to the Water Alternatives Ad Hoc Committee on September 17th, who did recommend that we present it to the full board for consideration to get this approval that Jerry described a minute ago. We have a couple of parallel activities going on here with in regard to the California Environmental Quality Act process. First of all, we were building the current project under an emergency coastal development permit that was issued by the county on May 15th, and we did obtain concurrence from the governor's office of planning and research that basically agrees that this current project, this current effort, is subject to the governor's executive orders that were issued on April 25th of this year, which allows us to move forward without having the full CEQA process in place at this point in time. However, we did file a notice of exemption at that time, you know, referencing that as well as some of the state statutes related to the emergency condition. Now, in parallel with that, the county requires you to do a regular coastal development permit application, which is in place with the county and in process, and that'll be supported by the focused EIR that we're seeking your approval to go forward and negotiate an agreement with. So that's some of the background detail on this, and I can elaborate further if you'd like, but that's the gist of it.
I would like to, Director Clift was on the board, I believe, so on the committee.
Yeah, when the committee took a look at the situation and on advice of council about the questions that have come out relative to the regular permit, that it was prudent to go ahead with the environmental impact report so that you're not subject to the first argument, which is prove that you don't need to have an environmental impact report, which is gets into the long delay. And then secondly, each individual thing in a lot of the comments that have come in, each one of those could be litigated in effect, whereas the environmental impact report will take into account those items and provide the mitigation for them and lessen the challenging of that thing. So it really is probably very prudent to simply do your homework ahead of time so that you don't have to do it later on and find yourself in a legal position that you're always on the defense and trying to forestall, or you're just being stalled longer and longer in the process. So at that point, it was the committee's recommendation that we go forth with the general manager negotiating for an environmental impact report and bringing back to the board what would be included in it and what kind of price aspect.
Also a member of the committee, but I believe not present at the time, was Director Robinette. You may want to comment on that.
No, I just certainly am in agreement and concurrence with what Director Cliff shared. I think it's important that we be proactive, and that's our purpose.
Okay, Mr. Thompson?
Yes, I recall that the brackish water desal was one of the five programs that the Army Corps of Engineers was studying, and I'm not sure if they made any headway on the EIR on that one, but perhaps there's a way we could tie in with the work that they've done to date.
I think that's key. Director Rice?
That was going to be one of my comments. Thank you for raising that, because I know that they're if we had stayed on track with them, they were projecting to have something, a draft for comments this coming January. So they should have something. Plus, we have the mitigated neg deck. I fully support doing a full EIR. My quibble is more rather a technical issue, in that it would be nice to have the EIR ahead of making the decision about the project. But I'm glad that we're going to be doing an EIR, and unless somebody else has a comment, I would move that we authorize the general manager to negotiate for an EIR on this project.
And I would second that.
Any discussion? Go ahead. Director?
Let me say one thing.
Okay.
Since this is on 9B and so many people spoke on 9B, I've sat on this board for almost 7 years, and I just have to say thank you to the community expressing an opinion, whichever opinion it is, expressing an opinion. As a board member, you run into people in Cookie Crock and other places, and they express an opinion. But here in a public meeting, I really do appreciate you coming out and expressing whatever your opinion is on this issue and many other issues in the future. I hope it's there. It is very tough to sit up here and not know what so many people think, and you can get a jaded view of individuals, and you can get a jaded view of the opinions, and I want to say thank you. And in 7 years, this is a delightful day, just to see this many people.
And just as a point of order, we do have a couple of slips to speak, and so before we continue, we have a motion and a second. Before we continue, any comments? We have two people to speak: Ms. Tina Dickinson, followed by Heidi Santos.
Tina Dickinson, Cambria. Director Clift, you just said that we're always, quote, you said, quote, that we're always on the defense, unquote. There's a reason that you're always on the defense. It's because you're always trying to avoid what I would think would be the inevitable. But you're always in a project trying to avoid, always mitigated negative deck, trying to avoid CEQA. Now we're going to NEPA, and if you're on, when I see under Section 15063, the initial study, to meet the requirements of this section, the lead agency, that's the CCSD, may use an environmental assessment or a similar analysis prepared pursuant to NEPA. So I would assume, is there contact with the Army Corps of Engineers on the work they've been doing on an EIR? I would like that answered. Why doesn't the CCSD just go about a project like this, a major project, with the agencies, with their recommendations, with the conditions that have been asked to be put in place, instead of ignoring them, ignoring all of the IS-MND comments? I haven't seen responses yet. Where are the responses to the July 22nd comments? Where are they? And so for all of the folks that came up here, and they're just totally in support of this, I don't think a lot of them realize what the CCSD is trying to avoid. To have aerators spewing out particulates of effluent right adjacent to the state parks campground where campers are. Are you kidding? Do you think that you can just avoid the permits for this and that you can just go on your merry way while people are subject to getting very, very ill? That is a real big issue, and you know it. And now you're trying to skirt this with a focused EIR. What exactly is a focused EIR compared to a full EIR? Would someone please be able to explain that to me? Engineer Greshens?
Please continue your...
I'd like an answer to that question.
Conclude your comments, please, and then I'll get the other...
And I really, really, really resent the fact that folks here are bringing up political candidates. I thought this was about public comment regarding this issue. I fully support, since they did, I'm going to say I fully support Rick Hawley and Jeff Hellman for getting elected so that we do have transparency, so that when we do go through projects and have more projects come up, that we are informed and that we follow the advice and the conditions of the regulatory agencies. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Heidi Santos, are you still here? Thank you.
I feel honored that I get to speak twice. My problem is that we finally got, so to speak, phase one. You, that's your job. I just would like to do that. You do the best you can for Cambria. I want to make sure you follow all the regulations, that you do everything you do right, correctly, but I don't think I can tell you if you're doing the right thing or not. We're not in the middle of things. It's not really up to me to tell you whether or not you do the right thing, because I'm paying you or I elect you to do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any other further discussion? Ms. Robinette?
No. I'm not sure this is the proper place.
Okay.
But I will say this. When people have accusations that obviously would cause, if they were true, great concern on the part of everyone sitting in this room, I'm only going to ask, I think it's reasonable that if what we're accused of, we see credible, documented evidence rather than hearsay. Because if it's true, I think all of us would want to be concerned and address it. That's it.
Okay. Well, we have a motion and a second. I think we can just call all in favor of directing the general manager.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carries. Now we can move on to item 6A, the general manager's report.
Thank you, President Berenger. You have my general manager's report in front of me. I have a PowerPoint presentation that I'd like to just go through really quick with the board and the community, and if you don't mind, there's some, and then Bob's got one after me. So I'll just wait till everybody.
You guys should stay. This is a presentation about our system.
This is exciting stuff.
This is the stuff we live for.
You know, nobody gets excited as sewer pipes like I do. I tell you, you know.
That's why we hired you, right?
Yeah. This is where the rubber hits the road here, folks. This is good stuff. This is better than home video footage of your grandkids here. I'll tell you,
Mr. Gruber, would you comment on the?
Yeah, I just got a slip that saying there was a CDF plane flying around, which is California the Department of Forestry, and it's a spotter plane, and I don't have any more details. Moving around along rather nicely. Bob's got a PowerPoint presentation he wants to give on the project and show you some things. And then just on my last page, if you look at the readings for the WBE, there's been some discussion and concerns relating to the Windsor Bridge East and that monitoring well falling below 3 feet. We did this as a precautionary measure. Again, we took a proactive position on this. We asked for an urgency petition, a variance, if you will, for if and when that monitoring well falls below 3 feet, that allows us to run the SR3 and SR4 well. And that's why we ask for that urgency permit. And as you can see, starting back on August 11th, it has not dropped below 3 feet. And so, again, if it does drop below three feet because of that urgency petition, we're allowed to move forward. So I just want to go over, you know, with everything else going on, all the focus on the emergency water supply plant project, and it is the most important thing we do. We're doing other things too, and on limited resources and limited staff. So we have an infrastructure, a really complex infrastructure. We have a collection system of 10 lift stations. We have wells. We got wastewater plant. We have all different kinds of components that are pretty old, and so we struggle with continuing repairing those and replacing them. So this is a CIP improvement repair. I'm going to go through these really quick. These are the things that I'll be going over. These are the things that we've repaired so far, and I just want to bring you up to status on some of the projects that we're currently working on. Projects in progress, lift station A, lift station 9, generator replacement, aeration basin at the wastewater treatment plant, and the blower modification. When I get to the end of this, I want to spend a few minutes on the blower modification because it really does, and the aeration basin at the wastewater plant, because it does tie into the emergency water supply project, and it ties in based on quality of water in which we'll be putting out from the wastewater plant. The sewer collection system cleaning and video, this was phase one. We completed 20% and 54 miles as our current collection system. These are the trucks that mobilized. You saw them here last year. This is on the East Ranch. This is on the Fiscalini Ranch, the East Ranch. We actually had to go in into a canyon area and clear the entire area out because the manholes were completely buried and they've been overgrown with brush for about 20 years. And you have to be able to get to your manhole. So this was a phase we did. This was the CCTV crew and the collection system easement. This is on Strawberry Canyon. And this is a Dover Lane sewer man repair. This was a 60-foot repair on Dover. It was identified during the Phase 1 CCTV project. So we get in there and dug the pipe up and replace that. The contractors are beginning Dover Line repair. The sewer line was in really bad shape, and I think it was, it was collapsed. Avon Creek sewer repair. The project repaired three malfunctioning sewer laterals located in the portion of the main under Avalon Creek. This is, I'm sorry, guys, this is just what it is. This is what we do. One of the leaking sewer laterals prior to repair, so how long it was leaking, we do not know. It probably was leaking for multiple years. This is what it looked like afterwards, and we repaired it. We put that base rock down so it doesn't, when you put the soil back on, it doesn't break again. But again, that water enters there and causes problems with the plant and the collection system. Fern Canyon sewer repair. This project repaired a section of a leaking sewer main and a 10-inch main. Fern Canyon, this damaged pipe section was identified in the Phase 1 work again. This is a major pipe we found that was just, it was, if you look at it, you really can't see it, but if you look at here, you have one section of pipe right here, and then you have the other section of pipe right here. So what happened over a period of time, they just separated, and they were buried, and everybody, nobody was aware of it. So we got in there and repaired that. And that was some of the remediation work, finished repair. Note the erosion control devices right here. So those make sure that nothing gets into the waterways or anything like that. Let me go to the next one. This is Fern Canyon storm drain culvert repair. This is, again, part of the Phase 1 that we did. As you can see right here, both these things are washed away right here. And there's a culvert that runs through here, and there's a sewer line that runs underneath right here. Well, because it washed away and there was a culvert, it caused the sewer line to collapse, and we again discovered that through the Phase 1 process that we did. And the sewer line is right down below here. Went in, just dug it all out. That was all eroded in a way. It was only going to get worse. The road was going to go. The drainage culvert was going to go. So we came in with these things, installing new culvert inlet head walls. That'll stop from erosion from happening. And that was the after project of the Fern Canyon storm drain culvert repair. That's what it looks like afterwards. And so we put the walls in, replaced the sewer pipe, replaced the culvert. West Street sewer main repair, the project was identified again as a Phase 1. We still have four phases to go. We've only done 20% of the collection system. A bunch of other things. So we raised manholes. We've done that throughout. So this is a previously raised manhole. This is a previous manhole in Fern Canyon. You can see that it's below grade. If you look at the level of the ground right here and you look at the manhole, so when it rains, everything goes into that manhole. There's a Fern Canyon manhole. Signs of I&I, you can see infiltration and intrusion. Lower section of the manhole ready to be raised. And this is what it looked like after it was raised. So it's above grade when it rains. It doesn't have to worry about getting water in there. This is a raised manhole on Highway 1. You've probably seen the area that's been cleared away of willows and things like that. We went in there and rebuilt it and raised it. And that's what it looks like now. You couldn't even get to it before. We had to go in there with bulldozers and clear it all out because what had happened over the 20 or 30-year period, It just buries these things. You can't find them. You have to know where they all are, and we raised it about 3 feet. You can see that it's raised here. If the creek overflows, which is right here, it won't impact the collection system. This is a raised manhole on Moonstone. I'm sure you guys walk by this sometimes. Again, it's below grade, which is not a good thing. That's what it looked like after we raised it. This is lift station B. This is the main lift station in Cambria. This includes a number of repairs and upgrades. This is behind Huntington, kind of behind my house on one of the trails. You'll see a building there. It's the main lift station. And why is this so important? These were the original pumps that were in here from back in the 70s, and one was not working at all, and the other one was really, really bad shape. If this one goes, it handles most of the flow for the community. This was a structural defect caused by the 10-inch force main. If you look at here, this pipe right here is all out of whack and everything. I'll just use technical terms, okay? All out of whack and everything. Highly technical terms here. So what we did is lift station B force main pipe retrofit. A portion of this project was to remove the bypass connection to the left side of the isolation valve, which is this area right here. You want to be able, if you lose your pumps, you want to be able to bring a portable pump in and bypass the system and run it through with a portable pump. We did not have that capability. So we go to the next one. And that's what it looks like now. We installed a bypass right here and a new isolation valve, so we can go in there. We open this valve, and we can connect a portable pump to it in case we lose power or in case one of the pumps malfunction, we can operate the system. Remember that old pipe I showed you? This is the new pipe in place now. And these are the old pumps down in there. And they're just in really bad shape. They're you know, they're that's another technical word. They're just, we have 10 pump stations. So this is a pump assembly motor prior to replacement. Notice sufficient metal decomposition. So, you know, Bondo on these things right here, you go to the auto body shop and you put liquid weld on them or whatever. It's not a way to run a system. So this was the old pump right here. This was the old pump, this housing, if you can see, and these are the new pumps we put in. We've done this in the last month, much more efficient, and we'll get to the run times. This is the new pump that's installed right down there. You can see all the valving that we did and all the new pump assembly, all the new motor and everything, and then this is the old one right here. There's a shot of the new one again from the top of the dry well, and this is what it looks like after. This is our main lift station in town. It's essentially a brand new lift station. And so we have new pumps, new motors, new valves, and we did it with all on budget and in schedule. And this is a lift station. This is the mode that we're going in. We're going pump motor assembly replacement. This is a computerized control monitor. It controls flow rates, motor times, wet well alarms, everything. So this is the technology that we're going with. We have this throughout our entire water system now, pretty much all of our water system. And we're starting to implement it in our wastewater system so we can get valuable historical data on it. So that's a new control panel at Lift Station B2 that we put in. Projects in process include replacement of pump motor assembly for lift stations A1 and 9, replace generator at Lift Station 9. Lift Station 9 is the main generator on Moonstone. That's the lift station that's responsible for all the hotels. Clean and retrofit the aeration basin at the wastewater plant and retrofit the blowers. So Lift Station A1 assembly replacement, this project is currently out to bid. We've already got the bids. I've signed the POs, and we've ordered the pumps for it. So I'm just kind of bringing you up to date. When this PowerPoint presentation was done, we were a little bit behind. So this is Lift Station A1, kind of the same type of application for Lift Station B. It has the old pumps in there. And so all this will be ripped out and replaced. And what we're going to do is epoxy. What we're doing on these lift stations now is when we remove everything out of there, we're going to epoxy the floors in there and paint them and make them look really nice. So let me see. So those are all station 9, another lift station. This is a pump motor assembly replacement, lift station 9 prior to replacement. So we've got the bids in, we've ordered the pumps, we've issued the POs, and they'll be on their way in about 10 weeks, and then we'll go in there and we'll rip all this out and replace them. And everyone on these that we do, we save a tremendous amount of electricity. I didn't mention on lift station B, but we went from a, and Paul, if he's here, correct me, went from a 5 hour and something. What, so 45 seconds. So every time a pump would kick on, it would run for all that time and all that electrical costs, and then we reduced it to 50 something seconds per cycle now because of new pumps. And this will probably have the same effect on these. Excuse me. And then we're partnering with PG&E, and we have to front these projects up front, but then there's a considerable amount of money that we're going to get back from them on all these projects. So because it saves energy. This is Lift Station 9, prior to replacement. Again, 10 weeks, we'll have all this stuff. We've ordered the pumps. We've and we and, and and all this will be replaced. This is Lift Station 9. This is on Moonstone Beach. This is the generator that's original, and it's just all ate up, and there's the fuel tank for it. So I signed the purchase orders for those today, and we'll have a new brand new standby generator for a case we lose power on Moonstone Beach. All the that lift station will be able to run it, and we'll be able to provide wastewater sewage flow to the plant. So this is the aeration basin. Just really quick, you know, a while back Regional Water Quality Control, we negotiated what they call an EAC, an Environmental Compliance Action. If you remember that, it was a $226,000 fine, and we paid the state $113,000, and they allowed us to take $113,000 and apply it towards the wastewater plant. They asked that we spend it on denitrification, in other words, upgrade the plant, 10% design to address the nitrates that are going out of the back of the plant. So two things. This project will start next week. We're gonna clean all that out. We're gonna replace all that stuff down in there. And Bob is in the process right now of working with Corel Engineering on this contract we have with them. But we'll be putting baffles in here, and then this will actually denitrify the effluent. And by denitrifying the effluent, that means we'll be sending a better quality of water diffusers. This is the facilities. This is the blowers. This is our blower room. This provides all the blowers to the plant. And this has been a real point of contention for me since I've come on board. When we designed this, these run, one of them runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Our electrical cost at the wastewater plant collectively, lift stations and everything, runs about $155,000 a year. What we're going to do is, and we're working with PG&E right now, is we're going to replace these motors because we only have really one that's functional with more efficient motors. And then we're going to put what they call a variable frequency drive so we can control the air. We have to be able to control the speed of these motors. We can't control the speed of the motors right now. If we can control the speed of the motors, we can control the air to the plant. And if we can control the air to the plant, we can control the nitrate levels. And if we can control the nitrate levels going out of the back of the plant, we can produce a better quality of water that would go out to the ponds, thus reducing the operating cost of the brackish water system. So these are all in the works. And the really encouraging part is that we can get this funded through PG&E at a zero interest rate. And I haven't really talked to them about the terms of it yet with Paul or the finance manager. But say if we finance all this for a 5 or 10 year period at 0% interest, what we could do is take the money saved in electrical cost and pay that back, and really would cost the district absolutely no money at all. So I'm pretty excited about that and actually improve the overall quality of the water going out of the back of the plant. Because the state's requiring us to denitrify, so we're just kind of out ahead of it right now. Let me see. Paul, is that the last one? I think that is. So I know that's a lot of information and a lot of things, but I want you to know that, so out of 10 lift stations that we have, 10 pumping stations, in the next, we'll have three of them completely retrofitted with only seven left. So my goal is the next year have two more done, that'd be five, then seven, then nine, and then by year four we'll have all the lift stations retrofitted and replaced with brand new pumps and motors and panels and everything like that. Now next month in October, I want to do a similar PowerPoint presentation on what we've done on the water side and the automation and the repairs that Justin's
for 6A. And should you want to take those now, or do you want to take the public requests after all three?
Why doesn't Bob just give his and Tracy gives his, and we can just throw it all in, Bob, if that's okay?
I wanted to ask one question on the videoing. Did we repair the hole that they drilled through our pipes on the Chevron project?
Yeah, if you notice that patchwork that you saw by Robin's restaurant right there, when they put the monitoring wells in, how many years ago, we don't know, I mean, a lot of years ago, they drilled right into our force main. And they actually, inadvertently forgot to tell us about it.
you know, but then we got a hold of them, and they actually came back and paid for that repair cost.
Cool.
So
can I just say one
thing? Sure, say one thing,
because
we'll lose
the momentum on it from your report, and I just needed to say how much I really appreciate that you truly are master of your craft. You truly are.
Nice.
While this was a technical report, you kind of put it into nice terms, and we appreciated that. But really, truly, when we all see just how much has been going on here and see the before and after, I feel we are extremely fortunate and lucky that we haven't had more breakdowns. But to see what you've done, it just is to say thank you.
Okay, moving on to Mr. Gruber. Mr. Grefson?
Are we going to wait to ask?
Did you want that? The general manager wanted us to get all three of them and then hit them with all the questions we have. Go.
Mike, just to give you a quick snapshot of the emergency water supply project and where it's at, I've got a few slides. This is part of the work at the advanced, it's the prep work going on at the advanced water treatment plant. This shot was made on August 27th, and as you can see, there's a water truck there in the, kind of the background to help control any dust that's might be disturbed by the construction activity. Next shot, that's the same general area, showing the pads that have gone in place for the equipment that's going to be set out there for the advanced water treatment plant. Next shot shows one of the pieces of major equipment. This happens to be the ultraviolet light unit. This is part of the advanced oxidation process, and I think you heard other people are installed with monitoring and so forth to make sure it's not leaking after it goes into operation. Again, another shot of the evaporation pond prep work that's going on. This is a more recent shot. And then just quickly over the next few weeks, there'll be additional major equipment deliveries and installations going on. We'll be finishing the prep work at the evaporation pond and then moving on to starting to install the liner work. There'll be some interconnecting pipelines going in, and right now the project construction is on schedule and planned for completion on November 14th. And then just a few noteworthy project activities. The regional board did post draft Title 22 and Title 27 permits on their website recently. And the tracer test completion will occur on this coming Monday, September 29th, and that'll be completed at 8 a.m. So that pretty much concludes my report. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Okay, we're going to defer questions, and General Manager?
Tracy, can you switch with Bob and come up and give your finance manager's report and talk a little bit about the draft reserve policy that you put into place and just kind of all the good things that's happening in the finance department? And
good afternoon. I'm going to just focus on a few things since I know you've had an opportunity to look at the material in the binder. Page 13 is a chart that you haven't seen before. I'm just daylighting some history on water sales and wastewater sales or sewer sales. I wanted you to have this information in greater detail as we move into the October meeting, since in the October meeting we'll be looking at the budget for the entire agency. We have talked about the need to do organizational budgetary review in view of the large expenditures that we're undertaking in response to the emergency water supply project, and the fact that some of the details of that were not available when we put the budget together originally. Agencies normally do a mid-year forecast, end of January, beginning of February, based upon 6 months, but the unusual nature of this emergency compels us to review the budget comprehensively more frequently. So with that said, you can see that the projection for water at 1.4 is going to be about, that we currently think is going to be about 7. I want to talk about the external loan a little bit. It keeps coming up. I don't know who the gentleman was who got up and spoke earlier, but he was very factually correct, and I appreciated his comments. And just a a few more things to shore up some of the information that's here, been previously presented, and that the member of the public gave for. All the banks that we went out to are banks. There has been this assertion that somehow or another we've gotten involved with a hedge fund. Not one of the banks that we went to can be fairly characterized as a hedge fund. That simply is not the case. There isn't a hedge fund in the bunch. They're all just garden variety street legal banks. Also, with regards to the terms, again, I want to point out that the terms of this loan are absolutely consistent with every loan that the district has issued for the last 10 years or more. There are no particularly unusual new provisions in this loan other than prepayment provisions put in place to allow us to prepay this loan in the event of a grant and those types of things. The unusual things in this loan are of benefit to the district. There has been a long-standing practice at the district of pledging property taxes. Your bond counsel commented when he came here and addressed you on August 4th that this was a strategy put in place defensively many years ago by the district as a way to protect property tax revenues from raids by the state. The reality in 2014 and forever for the foreseeable future is that banks are going to see those provisions in all previous loans and are going to see that as a benefit to them and are also going to demand it. That is not a unique feature of this loan, however. I've included in your packet a special district reserve guideline published by the California Special District Association. I wanted to give you and the public an opportunity to read this, and I just want to call out a few things in this document for the benefit of the public who might not have the actual document at home. On page 26, reserves are the foundation of the sustainable delivery of core services. They contribute to stable rates and well-maintained infrastructure. Insufficient reserves could jeopardize the district's long-term fiscal justification. Inevitably, public agencies will face scrutiny over whether to raise or reduce rates, taxes, or fees. Having reserve policies in place prior to such occasions serves as a valuable tool for both making and explaining difficult decisions. And with respect to public awareness, keeping the public informed about what you do is a fundamental responsibility of any public agency. They are the boss, after all, and all of us understand from personal experience that our jobs are a lot easier and a lot less stressful when the boss knows about and approves of what you are doing. Adopting a policy can help the district better communicate to the public the motives for adopting a reserve as well as conveying the reasons for maintaining the reserve at a certain level. Those are all things that I think that it's important to daylight within the context of the board considering whether a reserve policy should be undertaken at this time or not. So I'm just going to conclude by drawing your attention to page 29. Recognize that a good reserve policy must be consistent with other financial policies as a balanced budget, investment policies, and a well-developed capital improvement plan. Again, you'll see under item 9, they're referencing deferred maintenance and long-term repair and replacement of infrastructure. So forwarding this reserve policy guideline book is derived from my recommendation that the district needs to have good information and management tools in place, a reserve policy, and the underlying information that will be generated and used to support your reserve policy choices, like a good CIP and a good investment policy, are part of the body of foundational information needed to have good, sound, and reasonable operational rates for the district's utilities. It's not a sort of silver bullet, but it's part of creating a sustainable service delivery environment for all of the district's services, fire, parks, water, and sewer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. General Manager, I have three slips to speak, and then I'll bring it back to the board. First, we have Barbara Crowley, followed by Paul Carlson.
Wow. Barbara Crowley. Well, two reports ago, the manager talked about the progress on the sewage spill issue. And I did read on that Water Board website that one half can be forgiven. I just hope that you get to that June 2015 deadline. I guess it's a report that you have to submit. Is it not?
You can answer that. Go ahead.
Yes, part of the settlement agreement required that by that date we have a 10% design completed of the wastewater treatment plant that focuses on the terms of the agreement. One of those are which a denitrification, headworks improvements, things like that. And we're on schedule, and there's milestones between that time and now, and the Regional Water Quality Control Board monitors those deadlines pretty stringently, but we send them updates. We send them updates on the progress of that 10%. And staff met with the engineers down there and the electrical engineers just the other day on that 10% design of the wastewater plant to meet the denitrification requirements. So yeah, we're on schedule, and you don't want to miss those reporting requirements, because another term of the agreement is that they can call for that $113,000, we don't want that to happen.
Right. They're holding that out ransom.
We're holding that out. But we have with the regulatory folks, we continue to improve our relationships with them. It's a pretty complicated system, but, things were overlooked and neglected for a lot of years. And so it's about just building that relationship back with them and trusting us that we're going to be doing the right thing. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing that. Yeah.
And Paul Carlson is followed by Jerry McKinnon.
I have a brief comment to make. Actually, it's about the freshwater infrastructure. And I know Mr. Gruber talked about the sewer system today, which was impressive, all the repairs. And one of the reasons I'm speaking at this moment is because even yesterday, one of the objectors to the new project was talking about the real solution is to solve the leaks and spills. Well, and this has been an ongoing, as you board members know, over the several last years. It's always, well, we have too many leaks and spills. And reviewing your website, I learned that there was in the last couple of years a survey of your water supply where the well meters were monitored as well as the user meters, and the difference was approximately 8%.
Thank you. And Jerry McKinnon is our last speaker. Jerry, around? There he is. Legion hat today.
Jerry McKinnon, Cambria resident. I'm reminded of three songs. I won't sing them.
Good.
But the lyrics, the window she is broken and the rain is coming in. If someone doesn't fix it, I'll be soaking to the skin. But if I wait a day or two, the rain may go away, and we don't need no window on such a sunny day. Pop goes the weasel. That's where the money goes. I'm concerned about the preventive maintenance versus repairs of the sewer treatment system. When I look at these slides and recognize that there have been several years that system has been in place, why are we now discovering those fractures in the pipes and so forth? That's a part of preventive maintenance. So, my questions. when did this particular repair project begin? Second question, how long will it take to complete the repairs that are reported? Third question, where does the money come from to do the total repairs? Does it come from the current budgets in enterprise funds or whatever it is, or does it come from our reserve funds, or is there another source? Now, the total project is for a 10-year period. Is that correct? Is that what I heard the finance officer say?
Is that the emergency water supply?
No, sewer plant.
Sewer plant.
Sewer system.
No. Are you referring to how much was videoed? They're videoed 20%, and they're going to continue.
Yeah, I heard something like total project finance for a 10-year period at zero interest. Did I hear that correctly?
Would you answer that, Jerry?
That was referring to the money that will be allocated to us through PG&E. The terms of that are yet to be determined. It could be 5 years. It could be 10 years. In other words, when we replace those blowers, they'll loan us the money at 0% interest, and then the terms of that agreement to replace those blowers will really determine on A, what we can afford to pay back, and B, how long we want those terms to be. I would like to have the terms set that the payback duration is.
Well, the other aspect of it, will it require our payment structure rates to be increased to cover these costs, or do we live with what we have now?
The projects that I've identified do not equate to increases in sewer cost.
Thank you very much.
They're going to be done by existing revenues.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right, and I just had a late a slip here from Tony Church.
Good afternoon. I just have a few questions. Now that the application period has closed for the post of finance manager, I would like to know how many applications have been received and when it is expected that the position will be filled. Should I go through all of them first?
Sure.
Okay. I would also like to know why there has been a delay in requesting applications for the vacant positions in the wastewater department and the water departments, and when will the application process begin with the appropriate postings on the CCSD website. Next one, slightly different. The president, over the course of our emergency water situation, had referred frequently to the possibility of obtaining a portable desalinization unit. I would like to know why there is no record of any attempt by the CCSD management to obtain any relevant information as to the description, technical details, requirements, availability, and cost of such equipment. Next one, I am led to believe that the percolation ponds contain toxic materials, and it was so posted at the site. I would like to know what happened to the soil and brush that were at the site, and if removed, where the contractor took them. I would also like to know if the berms that are being constructed from the remaining soil at the site are being constantly tested. I may be mistaken, but on my own observation, it looked like the contractor did not take any precautions at the site when the work first started for the safety of his employees with regards to the dust, especially as it was a toxic site. It also appears that even though a water sprayer is now in place, site workers still do not appear to be wearing dust masks. Does the CCSD have a deep pocket liability? Finally, in reading the monthly report, I see no details or reference to the interagency meeting that was held and any steps that may have been taken to address concerns that may have been raised. Is this not an important aspect to the emergency water supply project? Those were my questions after reading the reports.
Thank you. Bringing it back to the board. Director Rice.
On our agreement with the regional board for the sanitary sewer overflows, is the postponing of the next set of CCTV filming going to affect that, or they were focused primarily not on the collection system but the treatment plant?
There's a document called SSMP, which is a sanitary sewer management plan, and that's to be updated every 2 years. And in that document, you can indicate to them that because of financial constraints and competing priorities that we'll postpone it for a year. So one of the questions that was asked is, when was the last time we did it? We did it fiscal year 13-14, we did 20%. Mm-hmm. We deferred it this fiscal year, 14-15. And the reason being is because of the condition in which the pumps were in, and so they're absolutely okay with that. I mean,
a problem with the agreement that we have in place.
No, there's no terms within that agreement. You're talking about the ECA, which is the Environmental Compliance Action Agreement. Yeah, and there are stipulations in there, but that is pretty narrow in scope and specifically deals with
The 10% design upgrades to the wastewater treatment plant as it relates to denitrification. So, very good question, but they're really two parallel tracks.
Okay, and, I just wanted to make sure. And then the SSMP, you said every 2 years it has to be updated. So does that come before us at least as a report, or you just it's something that gets filed? Or?
Yeah, it's received and filed, and we submit it electronically to them. And what we'll be doing as a part of that document is including all the improvements that we've made and showing them those pictures and including a brief description of what we've done. So,
as a former high school teacher, I just like people to show their work, that's all. I just like to see what you, because I know you're busy over there doing a lot of things, and I just wanted to bring to the public's attention this recognition for 10 years of dedicated service to local government that was part of our agenda packet. Thank you, Jerry, for including that.
Oh, thank you.
That.
That's ICMA.
Congratulations on the award for you.
Thank you.
And then we have Director Thompson.
Yes, I just told Jerry he was getting too much applause today.
So. Yeah, that's
it opens that only staff and the CDM folks have access to. So there's no cameras in place or anything like that. But those are those are web based now. It doesn't really require a whole lot of infrastructure to put those in. So I think that's a good idea. We've done a lot of additional cleanup work around the 9P7 and 9P2 well that would enable us to mount those type of cameras, and I think that before long we need to put some up there because it's a multi-million dollar asset of ours, and we need to be able to safeguard it. So it could be a web-based camera, something as simple as that, and I think that I'll make a note to myself and make sure those get installed.
Yeah. I think that's a really good idea.
Director Robinette, did you have more to anything else?
Just on the budget report, actually, just a great report. But when we were talking about reserves and policies and that type of thing, while we've got a lot on our plate right now, I would like to look in the future, perhaps early next year, about setting up probably a committee to address that.
I would support that. I had something, but I forgot. Director Rice?
Two things related to conservation. The ad hoc conservation committee hasn't gotten together recently, and I noticed there was only one rebate this month in the expenditure that was noted in the, for last month, it's noted in the expenditure report. But I would like to bring us all back to the fact that the master plan has a balanced water portfolio that includes water conservation as one of our sources of having enough water for everybody to use without, hopefully without affecting their lifestyle. Is there any way that we can use those banners on the streetlights to put little things that say, please conserve? I was, doing my water wonk thing, and I just happened to stumble across a picture of exact banners exactly like that that said, conserve water, that were on light posts just like that. So, that seems like a very good way to utilize. I know the Scarecrow Festival, that's the whole reason why those banner applications went up, but it'd be nice if we could have a couple at least, since we are under mandatory restrictions. It'd be nice for all the people that are in town managing our water supply. So I just would like to make sure that we're not losing track of that stuff, because I know we don't have a full-time person on it. And this is important. It's at least as important as the emergency water supply. It's just not as urgent as the emergency water supply at the moment.
So what I can do is I want to talk to Carlos about the banners. I think that's a great idea. I don't see a problem with it. I know there's some agreements in place with the existing ones, but I'm sure that two or three or four can easily be put up throughout the community. I don't think that's a problem at all. I'll have Monique schedule a water conservation ad hoc committee for us, and then I'll check on the status of the hotels, the audits. I know that they've probably stopped, but I agree with you. I think it's important that we continue doing those, and then in the next month's conservation report, we'll and then part of the conservation meeting, we'll bring you up to date on
how many we've completed and when was the last time we did one, and really discuss the need to continue that. I think it's important.
And I really appreciate the fact that that staff is working on the leak list and trying to get out to those homes that have some kind of, you know, some kind of problem with their setup. So that's, I mean, I fully support all of those things. I think it's important that we don't forget that that is part of our water portfolio. So,
and if I could just say too, yes, I think we do have our focus, but we do want to get back to conservation. And my understanding with the, clearly, I don't know if you noticed coming in today or not, but there's a whole band about ready to play right next door on Cambria Pines Road. I don't know what music, but I can almost hear it, which, of course, is clearly we are launching, once again, our wonderful Scarecrow Festival. It is my understanding, and I think we have some people in the audience that are somewhat connected to the people that actually make all those Scarecrow important decisions. And I'm under the understanding that there was clearly a theme this year with the new Scarecrows, or maybe kind of a revamp on some of them, to really focus on the water conservation. And if it's possible, if we could get the information and somehow get it out and publicized, maybe in the paper, it would be great if that's true, that we could call special attention to those Scarecrows that are really there supporting and highlighting conservation as a connection too. That'd be wonderful. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I have
Director Thompson, and then I'll get back to you. Director Thompson?
Yes. Thank you, Directors Rice and Robinette, for usage over last year. I don't want to say Pismo was one of them, but it was one of them. And they had actually increased their usage by 7.5%, and I think Morro Bay was something like 1.5%. But what this says to me, and because when queried, Pismo and Morro Bay suggested that because of the increased tourism and lodging use and so forth during this period, that was why they had exceeded the last year. Well, you look at our situation here, and so I think we have to give big kudos to the lodgings and the restaurants in this community who have really strongly contributed to our 46% reduction, and I think again they should all be commended for their conservation efforts. I know they're working hard to do so.
Right. And Director Rice, one more time.
Maybe next month. If I don't know what's going to be happening with the water yard, but if you're going to be having a trailer up at the emergency water supply and the wastewater. The folks have to be qualified for wastewater. I mean, are there plans to move the office for the water and the wastewater departments, or is it going to stay where it is?
I'm eating beef jerky. You caught me.
Sorry.
Shame on Tim for slipping it to me. So I sent an email out today, and it was followed up to an email I sent out September 17th to CDM. Okay. Regarding the operations, we've established the criteria to operate that plant. You know, there was conversation about, well, it needs to be operated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by a grade 4, grade 5, whatever. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has come back, and they've clarified that it requires a chief plant operator, a grade 3, a T3 water operator, with a shift operator of a T2. And so while the system is in operation, so if we run it 8 hours a day, it requires one T3. And so I've asked for it would be a task order 6, if you will. I've asked for, I think it's in our best interest to have CDM instead of doing an RFP and just going out to a Cal Water or something like that. CDM has an operations branch. And when you're starting up a system like this, there's warranty issues, there's water quality, there's quality control, quality assurance, there's maintenance issues, there's all these things. My concern is if we bring in somebody else, then there'll be a disconnect during this 1 day a week if it's not running or not. And a T3. So we're recruiting, to answer one of the gentleman's questions. We're recruiting for it'll be in the newspaper. We're recruiting for only for a T1, and that was the recommendation from Justin in our water department, because we have three T3s right now. And during that transition period for 3 to 4 months that I've requested a contract operator, if you will, it'll be a training experience. It'll be, they'll be training them, our current staff, and then that, there's no need to hire another T3 because we have three T3s. But we do need to get some more people in the field. I think we all agree upon that. So that's kind of where we are in the process right now. Madi wrote me back and said she'll get right on it and get it back to me. And what I anticipate doing is bringing probably, unless it's within the scope of my authority, I have to check with district council, but bringing that back to the board in October. And because I've been planning for this for the last couple weeks or so, what'll be out there is while we also have a pretty sophisticated automation system that'll be incorporated in an alarm system into this facility. The if you look at the construction scope and things like that, is $150,000 were dedicated to alarms and fail safes and things like that. We're eventually going to get to the point where, of course, you're going to want somebody out there and checking on it and making sure everything's running properly. But the requirements for somebody to be out there is once the state feels confident that it's putting out great water quality, then they may even lessen those requirements. So I know that's a long answer, but I just wanted to I want the board to know that I'm on top of it.
So no long-range plans for moving the water and wastewater offices from where they are
If you go out to the site right now, there's a construction trailer, and that's the type of facility that I want to put out there because, you know, if staff needs to go out there in the middle of the night, they need to have something. But I would also like to look at restoring our house out there. It's not to the point right now where it needs to be taken down, but it needs about $100,000 worth of work. And whether we decide to rent that out or have it for staff when they're out there operating the facility or whatever, but it's an asset we have, and we need to do something with it and not allow it to continue to deteriorate to the point where it be like the Phillips house on the East Ranch where we got to bulldoze it down. So, but there'll be a facility out there, and where they're constructed,
we can put one on each end of town as a minimum. I think that's a small commitment, and maybe one when we come in on Cambria Drive. But two or three would make sense. As far as the post signs, I think that's a good idea. When you're talking, somebody asked about who's financing this efforts, I think it was Mr. McKinnon, you're showing a lot of signs, there are a lot of motors that are being replaced and everything else, even though you're dealing with a lot of other things, and I know that's happening and that's good. So when it comes time for budget, we want to see what kind of impact that had on our previous budget and what we might want to do as far as planning for a long-term budget. I'm not happy. Mr. Church had some good questions, and I'm not tickled about the answer. So, Mr. Church, when you do provide the questions, please copy me on them.
I can answer the personnel questions.
I thought at least we could have those two quick things because that's an update. And one last thing just before you do that. When you filmed 20%, were you looking for the worst 20%? Or were you just arbitrarily starting at the beginning and going back?
No, we systematically looked at areas that we thought had the most direct I&I influence,
right.
The creek areas and things like that. And so it wasn't originally when we did the RFP and put the scope of work out, it was in another area. And after discussing it, we thought we'd address some of the areas that we knew were problematic and had some leaks.
Okay. Okay, so if you could just comment real quickly on the personnel
on the,
thing, that would be good.
So let's go back to the kind of backwards. I got some notes here. So CDM Smith, provides us a daily construction summary. And there early on in the project, there was some concerns raised about dust control and things like that. And those concerns were brought to my attention. By the Coastal Commission and things like that, and those questions were answered. Those questions were, and that put that to rest. But it ties back into what Director Robinette said about is that when something's brought to our attention, it's helpful for me to ask the regulatory agencies where did this concern come from? Is there, because what could happen is it just become just this circle. So everything is the archaeological things. All the regulatory agencies, Coastal Commission, and everybody seems to be pleased and happy with the level of monitoring that we have out there within the existing temporary permit that was issued by the county. If you look at that permit, if you've read that temporary permit, it is very, very stringent. It is very, very stringent upon, as far as natural resources and things like that. And so we're confident that CDM is meeting all those requirements. The finance manager position, we recruited for that, and that recruitment is closed. And we're in the process of extending an offer to an individual. And I'll look over to my HR person and just leave it at that. Because those are conditional offers, and those conditional offers are based on a thorough DOJ background, FBI background, a past employment background, all those type of things. So it's not appropriate for me to say any more than that regarding who the individual is or anything like that. But if that background check works out, then we'll an offer will be made to that individual. So it's my plan to make it a contract, not a contract position, but an at-will position. I think it's, and this is just my thoughts, usually department managers are that way, and that works out best for the organization. The water and wastewater, we're now one water operator and one wastewater operator, and those will go out for recruitment beginning of next week. We've made some changes to the job description, which doesn't need to be approved by the board. Just salary ranges need to be approved by the board. But we really focused on some of the characteristics, especially regarding the wastewater position, that we think are vital to the position itself. One being having experience in budgets and things. We want somebody technically savvy, but we also want somebody with some administrative skills. As you can see, water and wastewater now is becoming highly regulated, and so that individual is going to have some strong administrative skill, too, in keeping up with all these permits and all these reports and everything like that. Again, the wastewater and water will go out for recruitment beginning of next week. President Berenger, was there any other questions?
No, that's good. That's good. And okay. Now that it's 3 o'clock or 3:05 and we finally finished the general manager's report, we can accept that if there aren't any other further questions. What I'd like to do, just from a biology standpoint, is...
And she indicated that she only took 6 pictures. And I actually heard from 2 of the women that were photographed entering the hall, and so... I raised the question, if the intent of taking those pictures was not to violate their First Amendment rights, what was the intent? Why was she and Ms. Webb taking these pictures? And where are they now, in whose scrapbook, and what does she propose to do with them? And hopefully she'll tell us at our next meeting.
May I ask
Director
a
Robin?
Question
yes.
of legal counsel on that? With regard to taking pictures, is there some kind of legal requirement that without a person's permission, wouldn't you have to get their permission before? What would you do with pictures that you were taking, and what are you allowed to do?
It really depends on where you are and where you're taking the pictures. If you're in a public forum or a public venue, typically, there are no real restrictions. Obviously, what you do with those pictures is determinative on the ultimate, causes of action you may or may not have against those who took them. But from what I'm hearing, it was in and maybe someone can qualify this, it was in a public area. So I don't know that it's within our purview to really go down that path.
Hmm. Yeah, these women were attempting to enter the building, and they felt intimidated and bullied. And that's why they reported it to me, because they felt that there was certainly some issues with respect to taking the pictures.
Director Rice.
I attended the RAC meeting this month, at the beginning of the month, and they provided a presentation on a new part of the GIS system that they're doing with locating wells, where well permits are going in. And that was kind of an interesting. They're going in. They're adding another layer in the planning department's GIS system so that folks can map things, and wells that are supposed to be private will be obscured for the general public. But there will be a public-facing site probably February-ish. Also, there was the State Department of Water Resources did post their recommended funding recommendations for the earworm grants, which we were upon clearing that up. Then those recommendations hopefully will change. There's a date, October 8th, for comments on the recommendations for funding. You can go to the DWR site and look for the Integrated Regional Water Management Grant, Drought Emergency Grant funding. You can probably plug that into Google too, but that's a state program that we applied for grant money for the emergency project. The other thing I wanted to let folks know is the regional board met this morning, and Bruce Gibson was there to speak up for us, and we do have the Title 22 and Title 27 on the agenda. They've set seven staff members on our specific issues, so we do have, the regional board realizes that we need to be, there's a lot of attention that needs to be paid to this, and so they've actually assigned seven staff members to our project. So hopefully that will help. And I know that our staff is on top of dealing with them and doing that. But I just wanted folks to know, and Supervisor Gibson was there at the meeting and did speak up for us so that you know, we did have a voice there.
Great, thank you. I'd like to report I went to Cacho Adagian's office to discuss the project, to encourage him to help us with not only the grant funding, but the regulatory agencies, and made sure he was up to speed on the project so that when constituents came to him, he would have a better understanding of what's going on. And then and that was last week, and Gail might report on another meeting that Gail and I both had.
Yes, it seems we've spent quite a bit of time together here lately. Very good time, very encouraging, supportive time. We did meet after the meeting that you mentioned with our assemblyman. We then, this week, met with Senator Manning. Actually, it was a telephone conference because he had a cold, and we appreciated the fact that he felt best to stay home. But it was amazing because he certainly wanted to still give us like a full, all the time we needed, hour. And both of these people, our state-level elected officials, are very interested in what we're doing. I believe they see it better, almost real-time budget reporting. And they're working to modify our current system so that we can really have much more updated information. So I think, and then we, of course, were at the Board of Supervisors meeting, and that went, I thought, was very positive this week. But we've heard of that from General Manager Gruber. So that's my report.
Well, thank you.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Director Rice.
I do so much, I sometimes don't list it all on the piece of paper. I at this Board of Supervisors on Tuesday, during the discussion on fracking, our letter was included in the board agenda packet for, urging them to consider the health and safety, and I made a public comment, and I think that I got quoted somewhere. Somebody told me. But I think that our letter probably made at least a little bit of a difference. And so I thank the board for going forward on that. Thanks.
I might just finish on that too. On that Board of Supervisors meeting, we were there, and there was tremendous public support from our community there, very positive for getting the waiver on the fee that was before the Board of Supervisors. And a lot of thanks goes to those people. They do truly make a difference. And so we did get the waiver, and that was really why we were there.
Good. With that said, I guess we're done with committee and member reports. We only have one other thing to consider other than the consent agenda. Do you want to plow through? Are you
I would. Poor Mr. Martin has been sitting out there through the whole thing, and I do want my trash picked up tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, let's. If nobody has a biological need, let's move forward. I would entertain a motion.
I'd move approval of consent agenda.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
See, none opposed. It's carried. And we're going to move on to 9A.
Thank you, President Berenger and board members. The item before you on 9A is a discussion and consideration to form a committee to explore funding alternatives and options to replace existing public trash cans. Are the trash people still here? Good.
Oh, nice.
You know.
Sorry, Tom. I'm trying to get you out.
You know, the last couple years, there's been a lot of concern. We have, I think, 27. We did replace one in front of French Bakery, and we realized that is not the kind that we want. So what I'm looking for is to put a committee together to partner with and help fund, so we're not burdening the entire cost of having to do this. Some trash cans with recycling capabilities throughout town that possibly could even have those things you slide in, you could paint and advertise and things like that. But I just think that the trash cans in town need to be replaced. Why do I want to take this on? Because I think it's a great idea. I mean, I just think that the trash cans, this has been brought to my attention by the board on numerous occasions, and I want to make it a better place. I want to make it a prettier Main Street on the East and West Village, and I hope that the board would give me the authority, if you'd like, to just to go ahead and move forward with putting this committee together.
I think it's a great idea. I'm going to take blame for my haste in trying to change the trash cans. Heidi Santos is an outstanding individual. It was at a Rotary meeting, I think, and she said, gee, you know, we ought to do something about it. And I agreed 100%. And I encouraged the general manager to buy something. We saw something online that looked pretty good. Carlos picked up the phone, got the thing in. But when it finally arrived in front of the French Bakery, it just wasn't big enough. It was nice to have recycled and regular trash, but it was the biggest eyesore, and now it's broken. And Heidi had lined up a group of civic organizations that would help fund these. Now, not totally, but at least thanks to the Rotary did give us $1,000 for it. I think that we should dedicate the new one, whatever it is, to the issue. But we also had an emergency water supply project, and it became a back burner issue. But my thanks to Heidi. And she had lined up several other organizations, but they just wouldn't do it. And I thought it was good to get Mission Control involved. The biggest issue is, hey, recommend one that's easy to pick up and one that might work in other organizations or whatever. So I think that if you do have a committee, I think that a volunteer from Mission County would be excellent. And I think Heidi Santos, if you have people on it, she's a go-get.
Scarecrows, she might be a good person to get involved. Certainly, I think Dawn Dunlap was spearheading it earlier. So someone from the Historical Society.
I just think that we've had a lot of trash talk, and now we're proposing a trash committee. And I just think we can't have too much support for this topic, so.
Okay. So do you need any more guidance other than just get going? And make it short, you know, so it's only a limited duration, like 60 to 90 days or something. And if you have too many people, spoil the pot, just five people, maybe okay. Is my recommendation.
Got it. And the poor Rotary, can you imagine paying $900 for that trash can in front of the bakery mm-hmm. and look what it looks like?
Doors all broken.
We'll have to make sure that if there is a place for people to put, you know, some kind of artwork in there, that we do have the committee look at policies for who and when and where and how much and all
that.
Well,
the Rotary did
kind of a display for art on the.
Well, and I think you need to talk to the trash people so that it's convenient and compatible and easy for them to operate. I mean, we can come up with a beautiful thing and all that kind of stuff, but let's make sure we coordinate with them, even if they're not on the committee, at least before we approve any kind of design, let's make sure it's easy to handle.
And I recall in L.A., BFI always was very, very helpful and supportive in projects of this nature, and certainly maybe our waste management company would be likewise supportive.
So no other actions required on this?
No, we'll hate to be a stickler for procedure, but we do need a motion and a vote.
Okay. Anyone ready?
You can approve the recommendation. That's the simplest motion.
I move the recommendation of staff.
Perfect. Oh, okay. Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Would you like to speak at all or not?
No.
Thank you for volunteering.
Thank you.
No.
We'll see you on the 23rd.
Now I'm going to take a little bit of a break. We've got Jerry McKinnon wanted to speak about trash, and it is in fact an item. Even though we acted on it, I'd be interested in his opinion.
And the bakery. When you look at the trash in that container, it's cups, it's plates. The people sit out in front on those nice little tables and have something to eat, and then they put their trash in there. I would suggest that when you have a container that is in front of a business, that business be responsible for its cleanup. There'd be nothing to it at all for them at the close of business to walk out, open the door, take the old trash out, put a new bag in, and put it into the trash. That's a community effort, and that allows every enterprise in town to be a part of the responsibility of taking care of Cambria. Not the CCSD. You have other responsibilities. That's my suggestion, just from one man. Thank
you. I agree with that, and I've made personal appeals, and I know the Chamber of Commerce has done the same to no avail. But that's another issue. Jeff.
Yes, I'll definitely be brief today because, as far as I know, a lot of this has already been covered while I was absent. So at any rate, happy to definitely champion your further movement forward on getting water to Cambria, because definitely we need a recharge to our system, which I think is the real problem that we need to address, and you guys are doing so, and I'm really happy for it. So thank you very much. I'd still like to also consider an idea about moving forward and possibly to agendize an item for reviewing further and continued options for water recharge in the city of Cambria, and possibly creating an information kiosk that other companies could actually be part of and actually have it as kind of a place in the area where we're actually doing the water reclaiming and also recharging for the system. I'd like that to be addressed and maybe possibly agendized for a future meeting. Beyond that, I'd also like to revisit the issue about fracking. I know that we basically had a letter against. I'd like to make it even more firm than we originally did it. And that's basically the end of my commentary,
possibly
for next month. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. This is not necessarily an ad hoc committee meeting, but I did meet with several ranchers on Santa Rosa Creek. And there's a concept there the RDC is working on called a vertical drain. And the vertical drains will allow them to take water during the wet season and essentially saturate the aquifer. What it'll then do is it'll allow the Santa Rosa Creek, which is where we now need to acquire.
Wonderful.
So there you go.
Very, very good. Thank you very much.
With that, any future agenda items?
I have a couple.
Director Rice.
One is we need to be putting together an ad hoc bylaws committee to look at the bylaws to be ready to present to the board in either November or December. So this, if we could put on the, I don't know if we need to agendize having that put that, I don't even know that we have a specific committee right now, but we need to do that because it's coming up and we need to be prepared for that. So maybe we should agendize creating an ad hoc committee or choosing who's on the committee for the next meeting. And a reserves committee also, I think, is I think it wouldn't be a bad idea at the same time. No reason to not. I don't have a problem with that. I just don't want it to get lost in the shuffle of everything else that happens, because we don't have a good reserve policy, and the CSDA policy was just vetted and created last year, so it's really a fresh one to be using.
It is very fresh.
I also would like to see us talk about having more informational town hall type meetings, whether it's on fire or on this emergency project. We've had a huge crowd here today, which is awesome. And I know a lot of people do watch on TV our meetings to get information, and Kathy does an admirable job of getting the information out in the paper. But I think having a less formal, less business-type meeting, a town hall style or a workshop, might be a good idea. So I don't know if that needs to be something we need to put on the agenda to set as something that we do. I'm not exactly sure the best way to go about trying to have that happen, but I think that people are hungry for information. We should be offering it. We shouldn't have to have private groups have to put on affairs. We should be doing it.
I certainly volunteer to work with you, especially on an ad hoc basis prior to November, and having the an initial result of the policy manual. It's not a policy, the
bylaws,
because years ago, we all promised we were going to do that, and it might be my last opportunity to help you, so I'd be glad to do that. And so on November, let's try and have a small report, and I'm volunteering to help you on that.
Do we need a motion on those?
No.
So future agenda items that would include
would be a bylaws committee? A report from the bylaws committee, and I'll ad hoc with you until then.
Okay.